the Shadow of a Lion by M. H. Brandt. The vibrant smells of Africa at sunrise surrounded Papa. Morning was a quiet time when the wildlife began to roam the savannah and its deeply worn game trails. The golden hour was upon the camp as the pillars of sunlight illuminated the morning skies, covering the plains as Mount Kilimanjaro, with its tabletop ice cap, stood majestically in the background. Papa awoke and sat up gingerly with a throbbing headache, carefully peeling his legs off the canvas cot and placed his feet onto the tent floor below, checking for scorpions. Nothing moved, or at least so he thought. It was 1933. Europe was in chaos, America was in the Great Depression, and Africa was still Africa, the cradle of mankind. Papa moved slowly, as he'd drunk too much the night before while sitting around the campfire with the cooks and Kapale, his chief guide. He rubbed his unshaven face with his right hand, trying to shake off the hangover, then ran his hand through his uncombed, matted hair. The first thing that came to mind was to get a little hair of the dog that bit him. Papa needed another whiskey and soda to snap him out of his stupor, followed by some hot black coffee. "Papa, is that you moving around?" Fife blurted out while stirring in the warmth of her sleeping bag under the canopy of mosquito netting. "Yes," then softer, "yes, it's me. Couldn't sleep. Too many whiskeys last night. Shit-faced I am. Coffee. I need some strong coffee." "You smell awful. Take a bath in the river today, please." "Yeah, I am a little gamey. On second thought, are you crazy? There are crocs in the river." "Don't worry, the way you smell, they'd rather eat a dead hyena. And by the way, shave. Your face is like a bristly porcupine." The tent was a four-man canvas safari tent with a small writing desk, Coleman lantern, trunks for their hunting gear, and a collection of guns. "Hey, Fife, do you need the chamber pot moved outside?" Papa lit a torch for some added light and checked for scorpions in his boots, banging them on the end of the wooden cot, shaking anything out. "I might be drunk, but I'm not stupid." "No, I might still need it," uttered Fife drowsily as she rolled over in her unzipped cotton sleeping bag. Papa had just exited the tent to catch a glimpse of the beginning of the new day. He was heading to the cook's tent for a short whiskey and a cup of freshly brewed Kenyan Mountain coffee, the aroma that had awakened him 20 minutes earlier. Others in the camp were still sleeping, although edgy after the elephant scare during the moonlit night, as the herd trampled through the camp's outer edge, crushing the camp loo. Papa strolled across an open area viewing the savannah when he suddenly noticed a slight movement to his left at the edge of a thicket. It was a lion, and Papa was close enough to be his breakfast. The lion was a 300-pound male, a magnificent specimen staring directly at him. His breath was emitting a warm vapor trail as if he had been running. There was fresh blood about his mouth. The lion was tense, poised in an attack mode. They stared at each other in consternation, not knowing what to do next, both confused. The next 10 seconds would be the moment of truth, when Papa faced a critical point in his life or in his death. A feeling of uncertainty had gripped him, a gnawing in his gut. The Spanish call it el momento de la verdad, the moment of truth. The smell of the cooking fires and the foods from the keyhole fire pit had drawn the lion into the camp. The staff was quietly going about their business, chatting as usual. The Maasai warriors who guarded the camp during the night were milling around the cook's area, talking at a whisper, unaware of any danger. Papa had stopped cold in his tracks so as not to rile the lion. They made eye contact, both fixated. He was close enough to smell the lion's damp, musky, aging coat. The lion was tense, tail curled up in the air. Papa was frightened, eyes dilated. His heart was pounding in his chest like a steam engine going uphill, sweat dripping from his brow down into his eyes, making it even worse. All he could think of was, "Don't run." He mumbled to himself, "Where's my Springfield 3006 when I need it?" Fife threw the front canvas tent flap back and exited, yawning loudly, raising her arms overhead, stretching to the sky, taking in a deep breath, unaware of Papa's situation. The lion turned his head and stared at her. Papa had to quickly decide what to do if the lion suddenly attacked Fife. The Maasai warriors were alert now and had moved behind Papa, inching slowly closer towards him. Out of nowhere, an unsheathed Kenyan short sword slammed onto the ground near Papa's right foot, kicking up some earth. He now had a weapon, a gift from Kapolei. Papa slowly lowered himself toward the ground, picking it up. He thought to himself, like an old Maasai warrior, it's better to die with a sword in hand fighting than as an unprotected wildebeest torn to pieces, bleeding helplessly. Fife yelled out, "Hatari! Hatari! Lion in camp!" Hatari was the universal call for danger in Africa. The lion moved several feet towards Fife, stopping short of an all-out attack. He was confused. Papa moved closer to the lion, placing himself in the direct path to ward off any pending attack. Papa thought to himself, "Is it my bravery or the whiskey talking?" It was quiet, deafeningly quiet, and tense. The only sounds were the Maasai, garbed in their red kangas, chanting "Ahahut, Ahahut," and moving within striking distance. The chiming of bells on their ankles and wrists had alerted the lion to his peril. Realizing that he was the one in danger now, the lion backed up. He had already eaten earlier in the morning. The lion roared loudly, then turned, skirting into the thickets where he had come from, and joined the pride, taking one last bite of the zebra before the hyenas and vultures moved in to finish the carcass. Papa yelled out, "Asante! Asante! Thank you for what you did here today." The Maasai began their jumping dance, the Adumu, chanting "Wewe Sasa Shuja," along with "Papa, today you are a Maasai warrior." Fife ran over to Papa and hugged him tightly. "Don't you ever do this to me again. Never, ever." She was crying with joy that Papa had survived. Papa said, "That was a close one, and no, I won't be trying that again. Now where is my hair of the dog?" It was morning. The sun was up, shining brightly on the savanna. A stream of smoke rose from the campfire burning nearby, as heaps of drying dung baked on parched, dusty, dry grasses. Wild sage and acacia trees spread their branches. It was just another day on the savanna.